Good afternoon. I want to talk to you a little bit about revival. Revival is like a cultural term. So when we think of revival, we think about something that happened like at Asbury a couple years ago or on college campuses where there's like this explosion of the Holy Spirit and a lot of people get saved or a lot of people surrender their lives to Christ. And that's a unique thing that God does that. But unfortunately, often throughout history, when that happens, within a number of years, those areas and places kind of go back to where they were, or even worse. One of the great revivals in history was the Welsh Revival around the turn of the 20th century, and where you had 100,000 people get saved in just a number of months. And it was a very pagan culture, very worldly, a lot of alcoholics, though most of them were minors. It was a remarkable move of God. But within 50 years, Wales was back to where it was, and even in worse condition, and very, very agnostic and non-Christian today. And so I don't really think that's what, that's a good thing. People got saved, and for a season, you know, they had this thing happen. But even in those moments, it didn't just start with people just walking around, all of a sudden something happens. It was usually because, or almost always, because a person or a couple of people had their own personal breakthrough. And because of their breakthrough, they had a burden, prayed for their environment, their culture, or maybe their church. And at some point, the Holy Spirit began to move and people were impacted. Even the thing at Asbury was just one student. Chapel was over. He went back into chapel by himself, got down with his guitar and just began to worship the Lord because he was hungry for a breakthrough in his own life, and he had one. And somebody came in and saw what was happening to this one person, and they thought, well, I want that too. And it started like that. So it started with a person having a breakthrough. But what happened is the breakthrough is revival. If you think about the word revival, the word vive is the Latin word life. So to revive is to restore something that was either dead or in very bad shape back to life. So revival is just normalizing something. But the point is, what are you normalizing it back to? What is the standard of normal? And Jesus said in this passage in John 7, he said, when the Holy Spirit, which every person who believes in him would receive, it was to result in rivers of living water flowing out of their innermost being. That's normal. But what we've done with the word revival, we've made it seem like something so abnormal. It just happens occasionally and rarely and sort of super deluxe model. When the truth is that revival happens in a person they've been living and settling for abnormal, below normal for a long time. And that's the enemy. See, Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundant. If that's not your experience as a Christian, then you're abnormal. Now, we think it's normal because it's like everybody else around us. They're just got a low-grade fever for Jesus, that's just normal. And the people who sit around in the pews, that's just normal, but that's really abnormal. It's subnormal. But again, remember that revival always happens on a personal level. If the environment is combustible enough, like if you start a small fire and there's a lot of dry brush, kind of like what happened in California, then a small fire can spread because it was ripe for that to happen. So if a person catches on fire, if they get normalized and begin to manifest normal rivers of living water, which is the life of Jesus, then if the environment's combustible enough, if the people around them are desperate for more, if they read their Bibles, they know there's more, then it's easy for that one person or that two persons to impact them, and then it spreads like that. So here's what's important to understand. Revival is Jesus. Revival isn't about Jesus. Revival is Jesus. What makes you a Christian? What makes you a Christian is that you have been placed into the very life of Christ. This is one of Craig Stahl's favorite passages. This is from Romans 5, verse 10. And the reason this is so important to me is what we've done with the word revival, we've made it so unreachable. It's like all we can do is just wait around for sovereign God to do something. No, sovereign God's waiting around for you to do something. This is Romans 5, verse 10. If while we were enemies, talking about when we were lost, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved in his life. That's how a person is saved, by being placed into the life of Jesus. That's what makes you and I new creations. He says, if any person's in Christ, they're a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship, the word masterpiece, created in the stuff of Jesus, created in Christ Jesus. So what makes you a new creation, what makes you different than what you were, isn't that your sins are forgiven and you're not going to go to hell, you're going to go to heaven. That's all true and wonderful. That was just sort of the starter stuff. That had to kind of get taken care of. Sins are forgiven. But more importantly, and we say this a lot, it's not about saving you first and foremost about what you had done. It's about saving you from what you had become. And when you're saved from what you become, you'll stop doing all the dumb things that you did that made your life so miserable. And God's way of doing that is placing you into the life of Christ so that now you're all mingled up with his life, and his life is a very unbroken one. His life is very healthy. It's very vived, and it's normal from heaven's perspective. But that is God's will for every Christian. That's not a super deluxe model for a special few. It's for average, everyday Brownback Christianity, because you have been seated in Christ in the heavenly places. So it's normal from heaven's perspective. This verse, a couple of verses, then we'll stop. This is Romans chapter 8. Let me move this. Well, if I can move it without tearing my Bible up. There we go. Romans 8. Bear with me. These pages are stick together. Okay, Romans 8, very familiar passage. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, we love that verse, right? It's a great verse. But it has a next verse, which is really good too. To those who are called according to his purpose, then he defines his purpose, describes the purpose for every Christian. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's your destiny. You were saved by being placed into the life of Christ so that you would become like Christ, not by trying to imitate him, but by simply participating in him and manifesting him. That's normal. And you can't get more revived than the life that Jesus lives, right? If you read the pages of scripture and the life he lived, that's pretty revival, I think. That's what you and I were born into. See, by its very nature, to be born again supposedly is about revival. That was your revival. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, and you were made alive in Christ to participate in his life and benefit his life, and you can't get revived in that. That's why I'm saying revival is Jesus. All the ingredients for revival is in every believer because they've been placed into the life of Christ. In chapter 4, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, the experiential knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature person, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's normal. That's revival. We've made it so hard. We just sit around and wait for something that we think is so odd and so unusual that it just comes around every now and then, like a lazy Susan. And I thank God when anything happens that's good, the Holy Spirit will work with what he can work with, right? But I think that's also a real deception and a tragedy because the enemy's stolen Christians from them, their destiny, robbed them of the revival, which is Jesus. You don't have to wait for something to happen in Asbury or somewhere else. The Lord is waiting for you to step into revival. It's Jesus. So if a person doesn't allow the reign of sin to control them anymore, I mean, it doesn't mean that you won't blow it sometimes, but let's just say your person had a struggle with an issue like bitterness and anger, and all of a sudden they don't have problems with bitterness and anger anymore. They get tempted. Jesus was tempted in every way like in us. They just don't give in to it anymore. There's real freedom from that. They find they have a passion for the lost. They lead people to Christ. Signs and wonders fill their head and things happen through them that are supernatural. That sounds like revival, right? Well, the book of Acts, they would say that sounded like Christianity. Christianity itself is the, quote, revival. We've made it very hard for people because we've painted a picture of something that's not true. Every one of us, because you've been placed into Christ, the rivers are in you. If you've received the Spirit, the rivers are in you. What we call revival is just when the rivers are allowed to flow through you. And that's the normal life of Christ. Not a trickle, not a stream, but rivers, plural, of living water. That's revival. You see, that makes sense to me. You know what that says to me too? That means that each one of us can step into that because Jesus is revival. He is the revival. And when you step into that, that life is sustainable. It doesn't last for just a few years. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you will have people coming to you. Like they all went to Asbury, traveled to Asbury. They'll come to you because they're going to want what you have. They want that normal. If that's normal, I want that. Oh, you mean it's not super deluxe model is for me? Yes. Well, yeah, but I got all these weaknesses. I understand. But in your weaknesses, strength is made perfect. So that's not a disqualifier. Of course, that's true about you. It's true about all of us. That's why we need to be saved. And that's why you can be 72 and more excited than you ever were when you were 42 or 22 or 32 or 52, because it gets better and better and better. That's just the life that Jesus says, right? Okay. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.